now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
Good news and bad news, girls. The good news is your dates are here.
What's the bad news?
They're dead.
Ah! See, a United States astro robot becomes a creature of death. Oh.
And Dave.
We have come here to this planet for one purpose only, to acquire breeding stuff to repopulate our planet.
He who breaks the law shall be punished. Back to the House of Pain.
Back to the House of Pain.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Bots, Bugs, and Babes, the B-movie podcast. From class to the call, some of the cheese between the movies are B, but the entertainment is grade A. And I'm your host, Jason Giaconetti, and this time out, I am starting a new series. A series that is old, but now new to me because I didn't get to see it back in the day because we'll talk about all that. And we're going to talk about Freddy's Nightmares with episode number one, and I'll get to it right after this.
Jail couldn't hold him.
This man cannot be allowed to walk free.
And killing him was the worst thing they could do.
I'll be back!
Now, for the first time, see how Freddy Krueger became an unliving legend.
This night never ends.
See how it all began and why the nightmares will never stop.
You're dead!
Big deal!
On the next episode of Nightmare on Elm Street, Freddy's Nightmares.
Saturday night at 8 on 21 and only, KTXA-TV.
The first episode of A Nightmare on Elm Street, Freddy's Nightmares, debuted on October 8th in 1988, with the episode being called No More Mr. Nice Guy. This would be the first, obviously it's the pilot, so it's the first episode, and it's the only episode that would actually not feature two different storylines. Moving forward, the stories would have a half-hour storyline at front and then a half-hour storyline in the back, this one being just the original for 1 hour story that was going to be the pilot for this. Your director here was none other than Toby Hooper. Kind of funny, you have the guy who directed Texas Chainsaw Massacre, here he is directing A Nightmare on Elm Street. And this is probably the closest to A Nightmare on Elm Street, as this is about Freddy's trial, where we see Freddy Krueger, and it's played by Robert Englund. We don't see him a ton, obviously, because it's a little later in the series and he's supposed to be younger. Once he's burned, we definitely see him then. We see more of him then, but and this is the only time in any of the movies or any of the series we ever see anything about Freddy's trial. We hear about it, but we never see actual the trial. In this trial, they have him in a box. It's very, and I know it's before Silence of the Lambs, but it's still very Silence of the Lambs kind of thing where Freddy's kept inside a box in the courtroom. Somehow he's still wearing his regular clothes. He has his hat, but obviously he's not burned. He's just still a guy who is a child molester and child murderer and all that great stuff, which is we kind of got glossed over in the future of Freddy Krueger when he became a wisecracking silly guy. Now, there are some inconsistencies, obviously, between this episode and what we know from the movies. It's fine, I guess. You know, I mean, the thing is, at the end of the day, this is a TV show, and if you ever watch Never Sleep Again, the documentary, they talk about the TV show and how they were trying to get away with things and how things were cobbled together. And to be honest, this is not, this episode is, you know, about Freddy's trial, but this is not even like, this whole series isn't like a continuation of the movies. It's just different kind of stuff has been, you know, kind of melded together. And like I said, in all honesty, I never got to watch much of this series. I'm not sure what the issue was. It was not an issue of not being allowed to. It was an issue of just never finding it on TV. I know they moved this series around a lot. Often in the Midwest, which is probably the worst place to do this, they would stick this on at like 7 o'clock on a Saturday night. Right in the Bible Belt, and that's never going to fly well. Freddy Krueger, or even, you know, a horror show of this kind being shown in, you know, the early evening hours. No, I mean, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. Yeah, sure, you can get away with this stuff, but you weren't getting away with this stuff on like whatever channel. Like, I mean, you know, I think in New York, I want to say it was on WPIX channel 11 or WOR channel 9. I don't remember. Luke might remember, but I think we only watched. I only remember one episode about a diner, and that's all I remember. We got back, but it was on late at night or something. I don't know. It was weird about when it was on, and I think we were always kind of like, not that we were super busy because we were only like 10 and 8, but like when it debuted or so, you know, but it's just was not something we ever wound up catching too many of. And I'm discovering most of them for the first time as I was able to score a gray market Blu-ray set that looked pristine. So, this is about Freddy's trial. It starts off with his trial. And in the movie, we learn that Fred Krueger was, he was released because, they had a bad search warrant, that was improperly signed search warrant. So he would get released here though. They actually, say that he wasn't read his Miranda rights. So they're going to dismiss it. Well, I mean, I've watched enough Law and Order to know that does not mean you get out of jail for free. That means the trial is a mistrial, and then they have to, like, you know, the whole case is thrown out. You go back to jail, and then anything he said would be thrown out. It does not mean he gets to run free. But I think the whole idea is I just wanted to get it done with, get him out the door, so he can go back to being Fred Krueger. The other difference is here. Well, I mean, we know about the parents with the lynch mob and burning Freddy alive. But what we got in the movies, this one here is much more, I don't know. How to put this way, that we get Freddy vision at one point where he clearly is like, something's wrong. They're trying to play up that aspect of it. But I think in the movies, we saw that when they come upon Freddy, you know, and they're going to like burn him alive, that he's, more, I don't want to say afraid, but it's just like, it was literally not done that way here. This was very much like he was trying to invite it. This actually, you know, and it's funny because the title, you know, says No More Mr. Nice Guy, which of course is an Alice Cooper song, and Alice Cooper plays his dad in, you know, later on in the series, Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare in 91. The one thing, that this felt like, actually, this felt much more like Shocker. It was weird. Like, this, I don't, maybe because there's a trial and stuff, but this felt more like Shocker and Horace Pinker. You know, another, well, that movie, well, we covered Shocker. It never quite took off the way Wes Craven had hoped for, because it just didn't have the teeth that, you know, so to speak, that Nightmare on Elm Street did. But I kind of felt that was more in this vein. It was not as much Freddy, but again, we only have the most we have of Freddy, you know, all that stuff is that him's after he's burned and now he's the demon of your nightmares and stuff. So, he gets away. They go off trial. All the parents of the kids who were slain and the cop who saved his daughters and didn't actually kill him when he had the chance, they go and they hunt Freddy down to his old stomping grounds. They light him on fire. They burn him, which he, you know, then doesn't seem fearful at all. He seems like he's welcoming it, like he wants to go to hell. And then we start getting our nightmares in here. The budget on this show is, you know, within normal lower TV budgets. You know, we're not getting any crazy special effects, although in the end credits, they do credit a lot of very good special effects artists. Nothing here that's so over the top or outlandish. The makeup once Freddy is burned looks spot on, for that matter. And, you know, I'm sure that if we had seen these as a kid, I'd have many more memories about it and be like, oh my God, I really remember loving this stuff. The hard part about watching a series now, obviously, well, besides the fact that everyone's different ages and people, whatever, you know, by not having watched it when it happened, you know, now I'm discovering it at an age where, you know, I've now consumed so much more horror than I would have consumed in 1988. By 88, when I'm 10, 11, you know, 10 years old, going on to be 11, you know, kind of thing, I have only consumed so much horror. I had never consumed You know, I mean, from the Friday the 13th, I had not. Nightmare on Elm Street were only stuff I'd seen on TV cut to ribbons. Halloween, I think we had seen the original Halloween, but I definitely saw all the Halloweens. They were on Halloween 1 and 2 for sure. Cut up on, you know, on like Channel 5 or whatever channel. Yeah, Channel 5 used to show them. But that's what we had. We did not consume a lot of that horror. The horror we had consumed at that point, obviously, like Carpenter's The Thing and, you know, classic horror, obviously every Hammer movie, every, you know, Universal horror movie, those kind of the monster movies, all those classic monsters, of course. But the horror that we had consumed at that point, or at least I had, because Luke being a couple years younger than me, was not of the slasher kind. Because remember, we talked about this. My dad did not like the idea of slashers. He thought they were stupid. He thought they were lowbrow and cheap and whatever, which is fine. And he still doesn't really like slashers very much either. But that was one of the issues, is that because we weren't big Nightmare on Elm Street and Friday the 13th and Hellraiser, well, Hellraiser was kind of new, but see what I'm saying? Those kind of fans, you know, going into this, it wasn't like this was something we searched out. Now, with that being said, at no point was I told I was not allowed to watch this. So it wasn't like it was one of those like forbidden fruits either, where it's like, well, you can't watch it, so now I'm going to try to sneak around and watch it. Well, that was never a case. It's on TV. It's on Channel 9. What could it possibly be? It's on Channel 9. Nothing is going to be on there that I can't see, you know, kind of thing. So, or Channel 11, one of those channels. The idea, though, is that those you know, TV shows and stuff were so much, you know, tamer compared to some of the movies we had seen. Remember, this is 88. We've already saw RoboCop in the theater. We saw Predator in the theater same day, right? We'd already seen like movies like Red Heat, and we had seen, I mean, every Schwarzenegger action movie, everything like Rambo, all those things. Blood, guts, and gore was not a problem. People getting killed was not a problem. By this time, I am pretty sure by the age of 10, I definitely seen The Omen. Did I see The Exorcist by this point? I don't remember how old I was when I saw the... But my dad sat us down and we watched The Omen. We watched The Omen all the way through. And we watched The Fly by this point, like, and things like that. Like, those are some of those real... Like, I clearly remember sitting down and watching these things, because it was like, we're not to be scared of these things. I don't remember if we've seen The Exorcist by this point. I know I'd not seen, like, Evil Dead and stuff, because my dad wasn't interested in those things, so we didn't have them to watch. But, like, I don't know if we had seen Texas Chainsaw Massacre yet. I'm trying to remember. There's certain things, like, I don't remember exact ages. I remember being young and consuming these things, but, you know, but I'm getting sidetracked here. Anyway, back to the episode at hand. So they track him down. They kill him. He now is, you know, he's in the nightmares. He kills the lawyer. He's going after he's trying to kill everybody. The whole point is that he's trying to go through and kill the adults, which is kind of a twist, because we know in the original, right, Freddy targets the children of the people who lynched him. Here he's and burying them alive, and now he's targeting the members of the lynch mob. Or they didn't lynch him. I shouldn't say that. It's a lynch mob, but they didn't actually lynch him. They burned him alive, and then now he's targeting the members of the actual lynch mob itself. So it's kind of a twist off of that. It's a little different. It's kind of trying to rewrite a little bit of history, but, you know, it was no one proclaimed this to be the direct prequel to A Nightmare on Elm Street. You know, Toby Hooper in your director's chair means that you're going to get, you know, scenes are well designed and everything's shot well and yada yada, all that great stuff. And it's kind of funny because you have another master of horror, quote unquote, you know, making, a chapter of one of the, you know, the original, another master of horror, Wes Craven's kind of stuff. So, the episode, again, like every episode of these things, they're going to end downbeat. Again, I haven't seen them all, but I just know they're going to. Freddy kills the cop, and now the whole point is that, you know, he's in hell, and now I'm going to bring him with me, kind of thing. And, you know, again, does not end on a very upbeat note. It's very, you know, downtrodden and stuff. And at the end of the day, it's not bad. I mean, it's just you're going to have a harder time finding it. I think it's available on some Plex servers. I know I got mine, like I said, Gray Market, from a group I'm in on Facebook, a guy who puts together, digitally restores, stuff. And then, like, he also does super cuts of things. Like, he'll have the longest cut possible of Dawn of the Dead, or he'll cut together, let's say, I don't know, Halloween 1 and 2, cut them into one giant movie with all the extras put back in with all the scenes. So it's the longest version you can see of it. Things like that. And if that's interesting to you, reach out. I'll let you know what group it is, and you guys can get in there and get your hands on some. But The idea, though, is that I'm going to start watching these, and I'm going to start trying to enjoy some of the time I'm doing things, because I feel like I don't know. I've said this off air. I just don't know how much people are enjoying any of the stuff I'm doing here. If you are, awesome, great. I would love to know that. And if you're not enjoying it, like, reach out and tell me what I'm doing wrong here. I know it's different without my dad and I having a conversation. This would have been something that dad and I might have watched, you know, kind of would have had him watch, but because originally the idea was to watch all the Kolchaks, and I still might do Kolchaks. I think I might want to do Kolchaks as watch alongs because I love Kolchaks. I've seen them hundreds of times. But this series is so different. I've never seen this, and I don't know how good or bad some of the episodes are. I know there's one about a track athlete. Like I said, I saw one where there's they're in a diner, and like, I just don't know these that well, so I can't be like, oh man, I can't wait for episode 7, or I can't wait for episode 9, or, you know, kind of thing like that. And I think people enjoyed when Dad and I went through the Dark Rooms, a series that, honestly, I watched when I was in college when it showed on Sci-Fi, but that thing is pretty lost otherwise. So anyway, do you have any memories of Freddy's Nightmares or Nightmare on Elm Street, Freddy's Nightmares? You know, hit me up. Were you able to find it on TV when you were a kid? Were you able to find it as you're a young adult? Were you in college, maybe Saturday nights, you know, having a few adult beverages and watching some, you know, silly horror stuff on TV? I would love to hear from you guys, you know, kind of thing. Any feedback, you know, I'll share that stuff. So anyway, I've kind of rambled a little bit here. I'm all over the place as usual. But like I said, I can recommend this if you have a chance to check it out. This is, I know, again, I can't speak any other episode. This episode, I know a lot of people consider to be probably the best episode because it's got Freddy Krueger in it. And I think the ones going forward won't have a whole lot of Freddy Krueger in them. But I'm interested to see what they got away with or what they actually got on TV. Because I know, again, in the documentary, Never Sleep Again, if you've never seen it, please watch it. Be prepared. It's lengthy. They talk about like them pushing the envelope and how much can we get on TV and how much can we go, and you know, them trying to cut it all back. So anyway, that about wraps it up for me this time, folks. Like I said, I'll be back with more of these episodes interspersed between the movies. If you have any suggestions or anything, any feedback, please let me know. I'd love to hear from you. So folks, thank you very much for the downloads and listens. It's a labor of love. No one's making any money on this thing at all, so I appreciate all your time that you spend with me. With that being said, folks, keep those cards and letters coming, and keep watching the skies.
This is Tokyo, once a city of 6 million people. What has happened here was caused by a force which, up until a few days ago, was entirely beyond the scope of man's imagination. Tokyo, a smoldering memorial to the unknown. An unknown which at this very moment still prevails and could at any time lash out with its terrible destruction anywhere else in the world.
Hi, folks. Luke Giaconetti here. I'd like to ask you a few questions. Do you like giant monsters, or as they're called in Japan, Daikaiju? Monsters like Godzilla, Rodan, Gamera, King Ghidorah, or Mothra? Do you like more obscure monsters, such as Gappa or Yamgari? Do you like giant heroes like Ultraman or super robots like the Shogun Warriors? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then I think you might like my podcast, Earth Destruction Directive. I'm a dedicated fan of all things Daikaiju, and I'd like to share that with all of you. Please check out Earth Destruction Directive at twotruefreaks.com. Earth Destruction Directive, where we turn your Daikaiju dreams into city-smashing reality.
This has been an episode of Bots, Bugs, and Babes, the B-Movie Podcast. If you'd like to contact me, please email the show at BotsBugsBabes@gmail.com. If you'd like to find me online, I'm on Facebook under my name, Jason Giaconetti. I often contribute to the Two True Freaks Facebook group. You can visit my Facebook page, The Art of Horror Collective, and you can search the hashtag The Art of Horror Collective. On Instagram, find me under my name, Jason Giaconetti, and search the hashtag The Art of Horror Collective, as well as the new hashtag BotsBugsBabes Podcast. I'm the only one using them. I'm also on Twitter
at Jason Giaconetti. And you can visit my webpage at www.theartofhorrorcollective.wordpress.com. All movies, characters, stories, music, etc. are properties of their respective holders. This is a fan work, and any use of any property is purely for review, discussion, entertainment. So don't sue me. I ain't got anything anyway.
There is no tomorrow! There is no tomorrow! There is no tomorrow!